chair over here.
Okay, I'll just pull this up.
Yeah, this will be good enough, I guess.
Yeah, that way you can catch the people coming in if you have to. Okay, and go ahead and I'll let you lead off.
Okay, well, you know we're doing the baseball thing, which you just talked about. So we have a couple questions made up.
And why don't we just let them speak?
Yeah. I'd
rather you ask questions and I can answer them and embellish them if they need to.
Okay, well, one of our questions was, what was your summer like growing up in Eau Claire?
Oh, boy. Well, it was a couple different things. One, we used to spend a lot of time at the Badger Theater, which was over on Grand Avenue, and I think it was, we bought at that time to pick up pop bottles and get enough money to go to the shows, and they were always, cereals, Flash Gordon, that type of thing. Eau Claire was, I don't know if the term safer back then or not, but the parents didn't think, and we went to ball games and watched the Bears and the Braves play for years. My folks were avid baseball fans, and so we went to an awful lot of ball games here.
Okay. Another one was, when you were growing up, what memories did you have surrounding the Eau Claire community and the Braves / Bears?
Well,
Creek.
I saw a lot of great ball players come here, a lot of them, and I saw Billy Bruton play, of course, and Hank Aaron. And one of my memories of Aaron was that, and I can't remember exactly if he was playing at that game, second base or shortstop. He chased a fly ball down the third baseline, and he ran into the fence, and I vividly remember that chain link fence just going out like that. He never caught the ball, but I mean, he never slowed up. He just, fantastic ball player. He lived at the YMCA. He lived there when I was a member of the Y. And we'd go swimming and play pool and basketball, and they all lived upstairs. And unfortunately, back then, blacks weren't taken in by the community too much. And I don't think they were shunned, but nobody was really going out there to say, hey, here I am, you can live with me. But a lot of them, lived at the YMCA. And that's, I don't know, did you tell her where that was?
I told her, but I don't know if she remembered. She was busy when I told her.
Oh,
yeah,
do you know where First Wisconsin Bank is? The drive-in bank. And it's over on the corner of Firewall and Eau Claire Street.
Yeah.
So that used to be the YMCA there. And it was kind of neat because across the street was Hobbs Supply, the bus depot was Kitty Corner, and so.
When did you become an officer?
1967.
Okay. So
through 90.
Oof, that was a while. You must have had some fun.
Well, I had some interesting things going on over the years, yeah. But, I would go with my folks to the games, and then after they got to the point where they didn't want to go anymore, when the Braves came, that was kind of a different situation. So my friend Dick Hauger and I used to go. We'd go to all the games. We had another reason, of course. The girls used to go to those games too, so we'd go over and, hopefully visit with them periodically.
So it was different between when the Bears were there and when the Braves were there? Or?
I think it was just that the Bears had been here, so long, and it was kind of it's a typical thing with change, especially older folks. don't want change. So
that you get a feel but, for where he's at with that. That would be helpful.
Like I say, I remember it almost like it was yesterday. You know, sitting up there, and there was a gal by the name of Georgia Farwell, who used to go to those games, loved the ball players, no matter who they were. She'd invite them down to her house. She lived on Menominee Street. And Georgia was there with Paul Fuson. I couldn't remember his name. And they were the two loudest people anywhere. And a little risque on occasion, but Georgia Strawberry, we called her, was, she was just a sweetheart. She'd give you the shirt off her back, you know, but nobody talked about her boys. Two things she loved was cops and ball players. So, I remember Ham Olive when he was here as an umpire. I remember changing the call on first base. Called him out, the fans got on him, he called him safe. Oh boy, that was kind of an interesting situation. Pete Marciano, Rocky Marciano's brother, played here as a catcher. And I worked at the Roman Inn restaurant at that time. And I saved his life, actually. I won't, that's not very nice to say, but he was so drunk one night, he came over, and he just plopped his head down into his spaghetti. I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't have died, but I finally woke him up to get his head out of there. Let's see.
That was Rocky Marciano's brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't much of a catcher. But apparently he could drink. Well, he wasn't much of a drinker either, I don't think. of course, a lot of the black ball players that, you know, from the other teams too, as I'm trying to imagine Lou Brock, you know, when he played here, and I can't remember the teams as much anymore as I used to, but some of them were really good. There were a lot of good ball players went through here.
Hi. How are you?
You said you worked at the Roman Inn.
This morning.
Mm-hmm.
No. Where exactly was that located?
That was located on the corner, kitty corner from the police department, on the corner of Second and Grand.
Okay.
Used to be Schlegel Hardware Store, and then it was,
11-7? Yeah.
Then it was Roman Inn, actually. Now it's part of Eric and Hart, attorneys, back then. So, ask me questions, it's easier that way.
Well, we get a lot more information with you speaking, because we nobody's ever talked about, like, Rocky Marciano's brother catching for, you know, that's...
Did you have to earn money to buy tickets to see the Bears? And if so, what did you do to make that money?
Well, I think, do you want to sit here?
No, it doesn't matter. I just need to look in and see what
No, because if you do, we can move. Okay. You're not going to sit here then?
No.
Okay, I wasn't going to let you anyway. Well, I had a paper out, and I think that was probably, and then a couple summers I worked construction just to make money, little money, and play football too, so toughen up a little bit. And then probably when the Braves were here, let's see. I think I was working at the funeral home at that time and over at Landmarks on First Avenue. So.
Lost my train of thought for a second. was it just the Leader Telegram then, or had they still been split at the time, or?
Hmm. I think it was just the Leader Telegram. I don't recall more than one. That doesn't mean there wasn't. I just don't recall it. So.
Over the years, did you have a favorite Eau Claire player?
Yeah, I think so. I really enjoyed Aaron, but he was here for such a short period of time. Rico Cardi and Joe Torre, I think, were two of my favorites to watch, because Torre was a catcher. Well, so was Cardi when he was here. And I think he set some kind of record for pass balls or something. And to watch Joe Torre when he get down block the plate, there wasn't anybody that was going to get past him. He was built like a block. So yeah, he was a lot of fun.
Hey Neil, I'm just going to grab the laptop. And then we'll get out of your way.
No, you're not in my way. I'm in your way. That Rico Cardi could, boy, he could hit the ball a ton.
Did you have a favorite season that you remember at all?
Favorite what?
Season?
Nah, not really. No. You know, I mean, I didn't care if they won or lost, to be honest with you. I just loved to go and watch them play baseball. Okay. I mean, I prefer they'd win, but it didn't always happen that way.
Tell me about Eau Claire. What was, you know, Eau Claire like back in the, you know, when, say, the heyday or when you were growing up? Just, you know, what was the community like? Were a lot of people going to the game that you see, a lot of your friends?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was. They had big crowds. You know, I don't know what those numbers would be. But there was always a lot of people over at the ball games, and you know, downtown traffic was two-way. You know, Barstow was two-way, and Graham and everything. I remember having parades downtown where people, I mean, thousands of people would be here. The streets would just be lined, you know. And I remember after World War II, let's see, I was born in 43, so probably around 1950, they had a Legion convention here in Eau Claire. Now, you got to remember, that's about 5 years past the end of the war, so everybody was kind of full of it back then. And our thing to do was, my mother and dad parked on the Barstow Bridge, and we sat, that was our entertainment, sat and watched the drunks. And the stuff that went on was unreal, because the auditorium was right where the post office is now. So, you know, it was just a half a block to the Barstow Bridge, and we'd pop big bag of popcorn, you know, we'd have pop and sit there, and it was interesting. But there's a lot of, you know, there have been a lot of changes downtown, and the old police department used to be up below the fire station on Grand Avenue when I started, and I actually commanded the first platoon out of the new station, or the new building one, so it's kind of cool.
Or pigment.
So, go ahead.
Were you involved in any youth groups that were associated with the Bears?
There was a knothole gang, and I can't remember if I was with them or not. I don't remember.
Okay.
I know we got into a lot of games. There was a knothole gang, but I can't remember if I was a member of that or not.
How much did a ticket cost for, say? Do you remember?
No. It was pretty minuscule, I'm sure. Well, even when Dick and I were going to the games, I don't think they were. They weren't very expensive, even to the Braves games. Because neither one of us were independently wealthy, you know.
Did you listen to the big teams, the majors playing on the radio? And
you bet.
Who was your favorite team there?
Oh, the Braves.
No luck.
Absolutely. Yeah. Warren Spahn, Lou Burdette, Eddie Matthews. I had a transistor radio, and my bedroom was upstairs at my folks' house, and I was growing up, and I'd lay underneath the covers with that transistor radio and listen to all the games. We were down to Milwaukee visiting a friend of ours. We went to the Brewer game. Then we went back. He says, Johnny Logan lives over here. Let's go see him. Of course, we'd had a few beers by then. So his wife drives. We go over to Johnny Logan's house. And Andy Green, who was on the police department with me, played for the Bears at one time. And his friend of mine goes up to the door, of course, me like a dummy go with him. And I said, hey, Andy Green says to tell you hi. Oh my God, how is he? Come on in the house. And so our wives are just dying out in the car, you know. So we go in, he offers us a beer, and he said, the Burdettes are coming over. We're going to cook out. Would you guys want to stay? Of course, Chuck and I wanted to, but the wife says, no, 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 we're getting out of here. But it was kind of unique. I saw Johnny Logan. He was running for sheriff at the time of Milwaukee County. And he sent us some signs and stuff, autographed them when we left. So that was kind of cool. Met Bud Selig the same day. He was, my friend didn't know enough to keep his mouth shut sometimes. And he grabs him as we're at the stadium. Hey, Bud, meet my friend from Eau Claire. So anyway, I did get to meet Bud Selig that day.
Do you remember when the interstate came into town?
I sure do.
What year did it come here to Eau Claire?
Oh, now, come on.
Well, I know it came in 70 to Black River. I was like, I thought you might know around the proximity of...
No, I don't know.
Did it kind of, what you remember, how did it influence Eau Claire? Did it open a new corridor to Minneapolis and going to see the Twins, or did it just kind of, it was there and everybody was happy? And
I think the majority of the people probably were not happy. Because now, rather than having to go through Eau Claire, they could go around it. And I'm sure that hurt some businesses and other things. You know, it's great. I mean, you can hop on and get just about anywhere pretty quickly.
But if you bypass the city, it's like...
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I don't remember what year it was, but...
Because one of the things that we were reading, they were talking about how the interstate made it closer to Minneapolis, so more people were going to the Twins games and the Saints games, and kind of like it, they were saying it was one of the nails in the coffin of Eau Claire baseball. And
no, we used to go to Saints game once in a while. Those were fun games to go to. Did you ever go to it? Oh, they're a riot. They're an absolute riot. Yeah, they come around and give you massages during the game, and they're shooting T-shirts and whatnot up into the crowd. And Chase the Grease Pig around. Yeah, those are not so much for baseball, but just for all the other stuff that's going on.
The entertainment value.
Yeah, I've never been a real big Twins fan. I don't care for their announcers. And way back when, that soured me on the Twins and the Vikings. The only team I like up there is the Wild, and they're doing horribly.
So, yeah, it's like I was telling her about the 1980s Brewers, you know, and it's, if you ever listen to the Brewers still today, it's always Bob Uecker.
He played here.
Oh, Bob Uecker played here?
Mm-hmm.
It says...
Yeah, he, let's see. I think they had him out in the outfield. Because he wasn't the best catcher in the world either. Of course, he admits that, but... yeah, he played here.
Well, I don't know. I don't think the Brooks gave him
that. A lot of crazy guys.
Did you ever get a chance to see Roger Maris play at all, or?
No, not that I remember. Who did he play for in the?
I want to say he played over, like, I think Fargo.
I don't know. I may have, but back then that didn't mean much to me until.
Yeah.
He started hitting a bunch of home runs.
My mom is humming.
Do you got any more questions? It's like I'm looking at, because it's like the ones with art are pretty much the same questions.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same.
But
I don't have any more.
I'm pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, where exactly in town did you live when you were growing up?
I've been a North Sider all my life. I still am. But when I was growing up, we lived on Dewey Street, North Dewey, and off of Birch Street.
So you're off, okay. I know where you're at now.
And then Mount Simon. That was probably Mount Simon more than, and we played baseball, like, you know. We had a lot of, and Mount Simon, we had some pretty good teams. I never played Little League, I never had, I shouldn't say the time, but I had other responsibilities even as a little squirt, you know, things that needed help being done, so.
So these games would just be like throw together games where people, kids would be there and everything.
Oh yeah, and we went to, and Sunday afternoons we had beer games where my dad and my uncles and all those would play, like out to the Pine Lodge. And I could tell you a story of that when we lived on Birch Street, and there was a corner house, and behind the house they had maybe five or six storm windows lined up. And I wasn't probably, didn't have the best arm for direction. I had pretty good arm for throwing. I broke every cotton pick in one of those windows. And needless to say, I caught, but the crowning glory was I pitched one through the window downstairs, hit the lady who was sleeping on the bed. And I went upstairs, got into my pajamas, and crawled in bed in the middle of the day, because I knew when my dad got home, it was not going to be fun. And he came home, and he wasn't happy, but I remember we went to a ball game that night. So probably trying to figure out if I can learn something by watching them, you know. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like a hop, skip, and a jump over to Carson Park.
Oh yeah, and we walked, you know, A lot of times we walked, and we'd go to the root beer stand on Madison Street on the way home, and then walk up the hill to the railroad tracks and home.
Oh, what is the?
So they had a root beer stand on Madison, huh?
It was right on the corner of Madison and Hobart. There's a place called the Depot.
Okay, I know.
Right now, where they. Yeah, it was an A&W root beer stand.
Oh, really?
Literacy, that's...
It's, I know what you're talking about now. That's just down the road from, what they call it, Pope and Talbot. Or it used to be Pope and Talbot. Was up on the...
Pope and Talbot is, yeah, I think it's Cascade now.
Yeah.
Well, at one time it was Sterling. And I played softball for Sterling and fast pitch. But it was Sterling, and they were dumping sulfur and stuff into the river. My dad had, we lived above the hill from there, had prized gladiolus. Oh, he was mad that stuff would come over and just kill all his flowers. Not a happy man, that little Norwegian. He was a little upset. But.
Isn't that like up higher than the, what is it, the Walters plant on the river there?
Walters was actually two blocks off the river. It was on Elm Street. It was between Barstow and Hobart. And I was kind of weaned on Walters beer. It was good stuff.
We were talking to Art Roach, and he talked about how nobody would touch the near beer that was at the stadium.
Oh, I remember those, yeah. There was, what the heck was it? Grain Belt? Mm-hmm. I think it was Grain Belt near beer. Yeah, nobody wanted that.
My uncle used to say it was like that old the chunky soup commercial. You can eat it with a fork and drink it with a spoon. He was talking about how Grain Belt was the same way. You could eat it with a fork or drink it with a spoon.
Yeah, it was. I spent a lot of time down that brewery, too. You know, even. They had a white wall in the back in the tap room. We called it the Shrine. It was quite a place. Oh, dear me.
So Walters over Liney Kugels.
I drink Liney's, and I don't drink much anymore. Those days are pretty much beyond me, but I did my share back then. Yeah, I like some of the Liney's. But... Walters would definitely was my favorite. Now I'll drink anything that's free.
Unless it's Grain Belt.
No. My son and his girlfriend brought me some new Glarus stuff for my birthday, and I like their Spotted Cow. That's good, but man, oh man, is it expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can get deals on it if you go to Ron's every once in a while. They'll have it cheaper.
Ron's isn't there anymore, remember?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be Gordy's now.
Yeah. It won't be cheaper there, I guarantee you.
Yeah. But the Miller and the Liney Kugels is actually starting to get pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Well, I don't have any more questions, and...
Neither do I.
Bobby didn't learn much today, but...
Oh, yeah, we learned a lot. Lou, you said you saw Lou Brock play, too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... I don't know what it is right now. The names escape me, but... Yeah, there's a lot of really good ball players came through here. And some of them, you know, weren't here very long because they were good.
Did you get to meet Joe Torre at all, or?
No. Well, I mean, we talked to him because we'd get there early, and they'd talk to us. It wasn't, you know. But I mean, I never got an autograph or anything like that. Which that wasn't such a big thing back then, you know. We just go down and shag balls once in a while and have fun.
Yeah, because Art was talking about how he was saying how, you just said it, you didn't think about getting autographs back then.
Mm-mm.
He was saying with all the people he met and all that, he said he could have had his whole house plastered with autographs. Yeah, but it's just at the time, you know, he was saying, well, dang it, I wish I would have gotten one back then. And
oh, absolutely. And, you know, I had a ton of baseball cards, some old ones, and my mother just thought they were garbage and pitched them all out, so I probably would have been a millionaire. Hear that?
You're going to be a millionaire?
Yeah, I would have been if my mother wouldn't have thrown out all my baseball cards.
I know, us darn moms.
Then I'd have probably paid for this place. See?
Wow.
Blame my mother.
Can't exactly dig her out of the grave and kick her butt, so...
No, and that'd be a challenge, even if you did.
Oh, one last thing, Neil. I got to bring this up because Art talked about it. Art loved it. He said if he would have remembered back then, he would have bought it. You remember the scooter that they used to...
He would have stolen it.
Yeah, he said he would have stolen it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite the deal. And yeah. That was cool. I had forgotten about it till you just mentioned it. Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could remember. He talked about this one officer.
Yes.
Walter something, maybe?
Yes, that is what we used.
He talked about one that was like he considered a old German.
Joe Bender.
He said he didn't like Bender. But he said there was another, there was his lieutenant, Bender's lieutenant. And
now it could have been any number. Let's see.
Because it's the guy, the lieutenant was the girlfriend, his girlfriend worked there as a concession, as one of the concession girls. And I cannot remember his name.
Was it Haugen?
No, I don't think it was Haugen.
Zilsdorf?
No, it wasn't Zilsdorf. I remembered that one. Begin with a P?
Let's see. Bjarnton? Peterson?
No, Peterson. I would have remembered Peterson. I cannot remember his name.
I don't remember either.
Because he was talking about how he used to do some of the security work around the, being with the Eau Claire Police Department. And, yeah, he was talking about Bender. That one I remember.
Well, how would you like to have him working for you? I did.
Bender?
Yeah, he worked for me. That was interesting. I'm trying to think who would be.
What was the name that you remembered? Or you thought?
I feel like you talked about the police chief or something a lot. Walter. I don't even know.
Like what?
I don't remember. I think you talked about the police chief occasionally, about how we gave him a driver's license.
That was the lieutenant. That was still the one lieutenant.
Okay.
I
don't remember.
Yeah,
because
it's like he was driving a scooter without a license, and the officer called him into the office there and basically gave him a daytime license and told him to keep it under. If he wasn't, he'd lose the scooter. But,
and I'm trying to think. Larson?
No. I'm thinking, like I said, I don't think it was Peterson, but it sounded kind of like that. It was kind of like Peterson or Paulus or something like that.
Well, it was a Paulus on when I was on, but
Was he kind of like a lieutenant or?
No. Oh, I know. Polder?
I think it was. That yeah. one, because I remember Pole. I'm thinking that might have.
Polder, yeah. He was a. He was a different kind of dude. He wasn't there when I was on, but Gordy Polder, and he was a psychologist or psychiatrist or something. He, yeah, he was one of those guys where you feel better after talking to your dog than you go to see him.
Yeah, and it's like you brought up a. See, the good thing you also brought up is Ham Olive, because we heard from Lat when we were talking to Art, you know, was talking about how, was it Ham and then Gordy Roach, the pitcher? He was talking about how Ham threw him out of the game and he went up into the stadium or the stands and he was giving out.
No, I think that was a manager of another team he threw out.
Because this
so
one
then
was,
you went up in the stands. All right, that was an ham sandwiches.
Yeah, ham and olive sandwiches. And yeah, he said Olive couldn't throw him out because he had already kicked him out of the game, but he was up in the stands.
Yeah, like I say, that when I saw him change that play at first base, boy, he was pretty popular. Ham Olive was, and pretty neat guy. You know, that was back in the day of Rand Bezanson and Herman White, you know, the guys that kind of brought him in. That's kind of cool.
So did Ham live right here in Eau Claire too?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I think he worked at White Machine Works, if I'm not mistaken. So.
And then it was like... I was gonna throw this in. What do you remember about the community with Uniroyal back in the '50s? Did a lot of they pump a lot of community service into, you know, with their money just besides making tires and.
Well, yeah, I think so. Them and Presto and, you know, some of the little league teams they sponsored. You know, the Presto kids, the Eau Claire Police Cadets, the. Can't remember what Gillette, something or other. Yeah, I don't. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff.
Hello. How are you?
I don't know if it's any more than it is now, but and I think I told you we saw the House of David come here, which was. Pretty cool, you know. I mean, they all got the big beards and the stuff. So.
Yeah, Art was talking about them too. It's said they were really good baseball players.
Yeah, and I can't remember for sure, but I don't know if I saw Satchel Paige. Maybe it was an exhibition.
I think he played with them one season or a couple games.
Yeah,
Satchel might have played with the, was it the Indianapolis Clowns? Did they come up this way at all? Or?
I don't know.
He might have played with the Saints.
You got to remember, I'm getting old here. I can't remember all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if Satchel played up here.
I read a game or a book where he mentioned he played with the House of David.
Oh, that
or a couple. I don't know how many games, but
he couldn't have played too long because he couldn't have.
No.
Yeah.
He grew a mustache.
Yeah.
So, I wish I could think of some more, but I can't.
Oh, we got a lot of information that we can utilize.
Well, I hope so. I hope it hasn't been a bust.
Oh, no.
No.
Anytime talking to you, Neil, is a great time.
Oh, don't start that. Right. Would you like to come over here now? Would it make it easier for you, really?
No.